If you have your Bible with you tonight, if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, this morning I give you a greeting. I wonder if you've forgotten it. Okay? Now, in Romania, when it's Easter, the pastor or someone will come to the front, or if you meet someone along the street, we have this greeting, Christos a enviat. Okay? But to make it easy for you, I'll give you the response, okay? Adivarat a enviat, okay? Do you think you can cope with that? Adivarat a enviat, okay? After I give the first greeting, you can respond to me, okay? Hope you're not sleeping tonight. Christos a enviat. He's alive, okay? Now let me hear a response from people that I think are alive, okay? Christos a enviat. Oh man, just as well I'm not scoring points up here, isn't it? Okay. Thanks for, it's been great to share today with you. I can't remember the last time I preached in English at Easter time. I can't remember when that was. Actually, I haven't done that for about 11 years, okay? So you'll have to bear with me. Tonight, if you turn with in your Bible tonight with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, what I'm going to do is we're going to have 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 4, okay? So if you'd be upstanding in Romania, and we say to honor God and His Word, we'll have you to stand while we read His Word, okay? I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with us tonight, Lord. Open our hearts and ears to your word. Lord, help us to be serious about reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul gives Timothy some advice and puts in a nutshell, so to speak, in the words of these four verses, the will or heart of God for mankind. In verse 1 we see that we are to pray for all men. I want you to note that we are to pray for all men. Christ wants us to reach all men for Him. While we're here on the earth, when we got saved, when Christ called us to Himself and He drew us to Himself and we received the Holy Spirit and He indwells us, if you're saved here tonight, Christ wants you to reach other people. As you have received, freely give. That's what we are to do. So we see here that God wants us to reach all men. That we're to pray for all men. And we're to give thanks for all men. I want you to be attentive to the phrase tonight, all men. Christ Himself taught us in the Scripture that He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. When Christ was upon the earth physically, He trained His disciples, the apostles, and sent them forward with the most important message in the world. The world is in need of hearing the gospel message. And this morning we read the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it talks about the death, burial, and praise the Lord, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scriptures tell us, if Christ be not raised, we are dead in our sins. In verse 2 in our passage tonight, it tells us to pray for those that are in authority. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. That means that we are to have a good testimony within the community. When people look to us, they're to see stability. They're to see people who not just talk, but they walk the talk. That they look towards us and they say, these people are Christians. They're not religious people. They're Christians. One day I was traveling somewhere, and someone asked me, I got into the car, I got a lift with someone, I think it was, and he got to talking with this person, and I told him what I did, and he said, oh, it's good, religion's good for people and everything. And I told the man that I hate religion. We're not talking about religion here, we're talking about new faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing to do with religion. The world is steeped in religion. We have enough of religion. In the last few days, we spent down in Balaclava, is that correct? One of the suburbs of outer Melbourne there. And it was Purim Festival. And we saw all the Jewish people driving around in their cars with big speakers on their cars playing some terrible sort of music. I don't know what it was. And they had the volume up full and people were dressed up in all sorts of funny clothes and everything. And little girls dressed as princesses. You know what? The Jewish people are still lost. They've rejected the Messiah. But here the scripture tells us that we are to pray for all men in authority. We are to intercede. We are to be involved in God's work to reach and impact all of society for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live in a peaceful manner. We're to have a good testimony. But we're to be active. In verse 3 it shows us that these things are pleasing. These are the will of God for us. This is the will of God for our lives. If we live in this manner. Now in verse 4 we see the heart of God our Savior for our fellow man. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is where we are to be involved physically as believers to carry out the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28 it tells us that we're to reach and train, preach, reach, teach, or reach, preach, teach, all nations. Tonight we've showed you a bit of a presentation about the people of Romania. Later I'll share some of the young people and some of the people that have come to our church that have been saved through the ministry there. But in this passage we see the heart of God. And in verse 4 it tells us here who will have all men to be saved. I want us to underline that mentally. That your neighbor, that the person that you work with, the person that you go to university or school with, any person that you come into contact with, God wants them to be saved. And He's already paid the price. He paid it in full. And today we've celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are here to impact the world. Many people would say, oh, that's the job for the missionary. That's the job for the pastor. But if you're saved, God has called you to be involved in that. Many years ago, in 1975, I'll see how good your calculator works, okay? 1975, I went to a youth camp. I didn't go to church. I wasn't from a churchy type of family, neither a Christian family. And I went to youth camp to play up and muck up for the week. And when I got there, during the end of that week, I was being convicted of sin. I didn't know what it was. And I went and I spoke to one of the men. And the next morning, I arose early in the morning and went to a prayer time and I called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me at the age of 16, okay, in 1975. And you know, last year I celebrated my 40th birthday in Christ. Okay, I'm just making sure you can calculate, all right? And you know, when I prayed that prayer at 5:30 in the morning at the youth camp as a young boy, much thinner then, and as I opened my eyes, surprise, surprise, I was still here on the earth. Isn't that incredible? And you know why God has left me here on the earth? You know why God has left us here on the earth? Is to impact society for the Lord Jesus Christ. When He got the 11 men, and later He chose another one, the Apostle Paul, He met on the road to Damascus, and sent him forth, they turned the world upside down. And you know what we are to do today? The same. We're to touch people. Yes, sure, we're to tell them that God loves them. We're to tell them that Christ has already paid for the penalty, but it requires faith. They're to come and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it tell us in Scripture? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It tells us also in Scripture that God's word will not return to him void. In John chapter 15, if you have your Bible, I'd like you to look at John chapter 15 with me. Now, this is a very well-known passage. And you have the courage this week. I want you to, it'd be good for you to go home and read this passage. We haven't got the time to read every verse or not. In my Bible, it's all in red writing. That means the Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker. And I just want to draw your attention to some of the verses here. We haven't got time to read all of it, but I'm going to draw your attention to some of the verses. Verse 5, for example. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we see here the intention why I was left here upon the earth when I opened my eyes and I had received Christ as Savior. You know why God has left us here? To bring forth fruit. And the fruit, we're not talking about fruit here, apples and oranges. We realize that. We're talking about the souls of men. And many people might gather riches to themselves in this world. Many people might strive for things upon this world. But you know what? A soul is an important thing. You cannot buy it. It's not for sale. But where will it spend eternity? So here Jesus tells us, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Skip on to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. What's a disciple? He's a learner. He's in training. And what's he in training to do? To bring forth other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in this verse, the Father is glorified when we bring forth fruit. And that's why we're here. Hopefully when you came here tonight to sing praises unto the Lord, it's for his glory. I hope you came here to do that. And to be thankful. Every day, one of the first things that pops into my mind when I awake, maybe I'm different. When I awake, one of the first things that pops into my mind is that I'm saved. And I'm so thankful for all them years ago that a man was there to preach the Word of God at that youth camp in 1975. And that God worked in my heart and drew me to himself. And I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before that, I was on the road to destruction. And you might think, at 16, what have you done? Man, I'd done many things before the age of 16. I had the police coming to visit my house, and it wasn't a social call. If I could tell you many things that would make your hair curl, okay? Look at my wife. See what happened to her? But I don't want to concentrate on that. My life was a disaster. I was on the broad way that led to destruction, and then I met Jesus Christ in 1975, in July, 1975. In John 15, it tells us we're to bring forth fruit. In verse 8, it tells us the Father is glorified when we bring forth fruit. I want you to skip on to verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now we realize we're getting into serious stuff. It's not if you want to. It's not if you feel like it. It's a command. Have you ever been in the army or been in any other organization? And you're given a command. What is it, an optional extra? And you say, oh God, look, I'm busy today. It won't fit into my schedule. It's a command. No, if you go join the army and the sergeant bursts into the barracks, you're there early in the morning, he says, okay guys, up you come. Put your kit on, we're going on a 10-mile run. It's 16 kilometers for you guys that don't know what miles are, okay? Do you say, oh, look, hold on a minute, I have to have a shower, I've got to put my perfume on, or do... It's not a request, it's a command. And as Christians, we need to take things more seriously. In Europe, where we're over in Eastern Europe, we see Europe's in a mess at the moment, isn't it? And one of the problems for Europe today is, there are many problems for Europe, because they're in darkness and sin. But one of the problems is that you can fly in from any part of the world, You can arrive at the airport, you get your passport stamped, and you arrive in the country that you've come to, and you can go anywhere in Europe with no passport checking. And that is a big problem, but God is in control. And I believe today we are in the last days. But 90 kilometers from us, they're building a refugee camp for the Syrian refugees. I believe there is some refugees, genuine cases within it, but not all. But God is still in control. So the world must get into a mess when man calls out and says, who will be a leader for us? Who will sort out all the problems? Who will sort out the financial problems? Who will sort out other problems? But God still wants us to bring forth fruit. It's a command. In verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, this is the part we don't like. Who likes persecution? Is there someone here, a masochist here tonight, that likes persecution? No one. No takers. Neither do I. But if you're doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're speaking for Him, expect persecution. And if you're receiving persecution, that's okay. No, the Bible tells us that we're not to receive persecution for our own foolishness. But if we're receiving persecution for Christ's sake, that's okay. Something's happening. In our little church in Moldova Noua, we are an independent Baptist church. Up the road from us is a huge, big Baptist church. They could probably seat 600 or 800 people. I don't know. And up the other end of town, about 3 kilometers up in towards the hill, is another big Baptist church, and both of them were pictured on our presentation tonight. And the men that you saw there, you saw a group of young people all dressed in white, and there was 2 men sitting in front of them. They were sitting down. Did you notice that? They're not Orthodox priests. They're Baptist Union pastors. And when they're going to do a baptismal service, they dress like Orthodox priests, okay? When people come to our church, we had many visitors for our first time that we had a baptismal service. Now, our little building's not very big. What, we're about 10, 11 meters long, I think, inside, and probably about 7 meters or so wide. And I think we had about 90 people in there for a baptismal service. Everybody got very friendly, okay? A bit squeezy, but that's okay. And when people came along there, we had a man come and he was filming. He had to film the camera rolling, that sort of thing. And at the end of the service, he made a comment. He said, the pastor was very strange. He didn't wear a black robe. And when I got up there, I got into the baptismal pool with the candidates for baptism. And what we normally do is I like them to give their testimony in the pool, okay? Some people get very frightened of that. That's okay. If they decided they're too frightened and they can't do anything, well then basically I ask them questions and they answer yes or no, okay, for the frightened ones, okay. But when he was there and he saw that the pastor got in with a pair of normal trousers and a shirt, he thought that was really weird. Know why? Tradition. Know why? Religion. And the churches around us complain that we preach a different gospel. Praise the Lord, we do. They say that we preach the gospel of the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's not true. But if you saw on the presentation this evening, you notice that they preach baptismal regeneration. Do you know what that is? At the point of baptism, when you get to, the candidate goes into the water, and when he comes up, he's saved. Or she's saved. I don't want to be sexist here tonight, okay? In the villages, many of the villages around Moldova Noua and satellite sort of villages around us, there usually in every village is an Orthodox church. And in the village is always usually an Orthodox church in each village. And there could be a Pentecostal church also, or a Baptist church also, a Baptist Union church in that village, or a Brethren church in these villages. But when people grow up in the village, when they grow up in their village, they either are affiliated with the Baptist church, let's say pick on Baptist, okay? Baptist church or the Orthodox church. So when a young person grows up in a Baptist family or an Orthodox family, when he gets to a certain age, the pastor usually will come along to him and say, look, young man, we'll go back to the Baptist and say, look, you're about 18 now. I think it's time for you to get baptized. No talk of salvation. No challenge about knowing Christ as Savior. No, you're 18. I think it's about time. So they have a big announcement, and they get some of the young people forward. They do a baptismal service, and they tell the young man he's saved, and he's on his way to heaven. That's not what the Scriptures teach us. And we preach against that. We preach that you must confess your sins and call on Jesus Christ as Savior. And when you've received Him as Savior, you're complete in Him. That means you can't lose your salvation. So when you're doing something for Christ, I'm not talking about being obnoxious for Christ. I'm talking about contending for the faith, not being contentious for the faith. When you're doing something for Christ, expect persecution. That's okay. In Mark chapter 4, I'll just refer to it tonight, we have the parable of the sower. And most of us know the parable of the sower. In the Scriptures it tells us when Jesus had to explain to His disciples who didn't, the penny didn't drop, they didn't understand what was going on. He explained to them that the sower soweth the word. And then He went on and He spoke about the four different types of soil where the seed fell. The seed always remained the same. Why? Because it's the Word of God. When we cast out the seed, the Word of God, it does a work. And it falls on different types of ground. In other words, the hearers of God's Word, those that have heard the Word, react in four different ways. We see them. Some fell amongst the stony ground. Some fell amongst the thorns. Some fell by the wayside, the seed that is. And some fell on the good ground. And how do we get good ground? It's not all up to us, we understand that. But you know how we can get good ground? When you pray. When you're saying, Lord, because I'm interceding for all men, remember that. Lord, I am praying for my neighbor. Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to my friend. The gospel message is very important. As believers, we are to sow the seed, God's word, and this will be met with different reactions. Of course, we all want the good ground, don't we? As a young man, I was saved, started going to church, and the youth leader there, he came to me and he said, Billy, I want you to come with me and do some door knocking. We're going to do some door knocking. Now, when I was a young boy growing up in Belfast, I didn't know what this door knocking business was all about, okay? The only door knocking we ever did was I went door knocking at an old lady's house and knock on the door, and then we did a runner, okay? Or at a special time of the year, when it was fireworks time, they had the little letterboxes on the front, and we opened them and put one of these gifts, what do you call them? Penny bunger, into the doorway, and then we did a runner. And that was very exciting. And that was my form of door knocking. I never knew anything, but he said to me, today, every Sunday, between the morning service and the evening service, we're going to do door knocking. And I had to retrain, of course, not do that other type of door knocking. But I went with him, and you know, and I said, but Dennis, what have I got to do? I was nervous. And he said, Billy, what I want you to do is you hold my Bible, you hold the tracts, and you stand behind me and you pray. He said, could you do that? And I said, yeah, I think I could manage that. So every week I went out with Dennis. He'd go to the door, knock on the door. Someone would come to the door and he'd explain the gospel to him. And I was able to hand tracts. I was really good at doing that to him. And if he wanted his Bible, I could hand the Bible to him. And he'd quote some other scripture and share with the person at the door. And after about 3 weeks, we came to a door and Dennis knocked on the door. And this big guy came out and he said, hello, my name's Dennis and this is my friend Billy. And he's going to tell you how I got saved. And I stood there and I shared my salvation message with this man. And you know what? I didn't die. Isn't that incredible? You know when people look at you when you're telling the truth? You know when you're sharing your faith with people? People are made of flesh and blood just like you. And when the Spirit of God, when God uses His Word in their lives, it reacts. And they might be convicted. It might be for a later date. But I started sharing my faith at the door with Dennis. After a while, he went to one door, I went to another door, and praise the Lord, things went okay. One night in the summertime, I can't remember when it was, 1977 or so. No, it was earlier than that. 1976, I think it was. Some of the guys from our church, from the youth group, came around to my place. And they said, what are we going to do tonight, Saturday night, nowhere to go, light until about 11 o'clock at night. What are we going to do? And I said, let's go door knocking. And they said, what's that? And I said, I hold the Bible, or you hold the Bible and the tracts, and I'll knock on the door and I'll do the speaking. I've learned that from somewhere. So I went one this night, and the guys came with me. There was three or four young guys, and we were going door knocking to people. And many times you think, I'm just using door knocking as an example. It can be in other ways. And we went door knocking, and we shared our faith with many people, gave up many tracts that Saturday evening. And we turned up for youth on Tuesday evening, and when we got there, and Dennis got up the front of the youth meeting, and he said, some of our young men have been out door knocking. And I said to the guys, Jim and David and the other guys, have you tell anybody? And they said, no, we didn't say anything. Anyway, we let Dennis go on to speak, and he said, the reason I know some of our young men were out door knocking, because a man phoned me, and he was crying on the telephone, and I had the pleasure of going round to his house and leading him to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Scripture say? The sowers and the reapers rejoice together, don't they? Okay? So when you think, oh, that person hasn't received it, let God's Word work in their hearts. As believers, we are to sow God's Word. We will be met with different reaction, but that's okay. Man is not a robot. He was created in the image of God, and he has that thing called free will. And also, he has that responsibility for what he has heard. What does he do with the information that he has heard? Scriptures tell us in Acts 1:8, does anybody know that is a memory verse? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Okay, both in Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Is that correct? Okay. Do you notice in that verse we have the word both? Isn't it interesting that a lot of the modern translations have left out the word both? And you know what the important thing about that word both in that verse is? That we're to impact our local area, our Jerusalem, so to speak, Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost part, all at the same time. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? By being involved in God's missions program. You know, the church is an organism. It's to be active. It's to be lively. It's to be growing. When Christ called them 11 men to himself, and he sent them forth, when he said, all power will be given to you, when he called them 11 men forward, and Apostle Paul later, and he sent them forth, they impacted the world. They turned the world upside down. And the reason you and I are here today is because they did a great job. If they didn't impact the world, we would not be here tonight. They had a scope. They had an idea. And how can we be involved in that? By partnership in missions. I'm going to tell you about some of the young people in our church. But when Christ started the church, his church was mission-minded. It was a New Testament church. It was a live, living organism growing actively, expanding every day. What's it tell us in the Scriptures in Acts chapter 2? And they were saved. And God added to the church such as should be saved. As they were saved, God added them to the church. They were saved, baptized, and added to the church. The world was turned upside down. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it was for all men, no exclusions, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 2 Thessalonians, if you would. Second Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, the Apostle Paul said, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. You know, Paul's, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, you know what he said? I want the word of God to be unleashed. I want the word of God to be have free course, no obstacles. The way you've received the word of God, the way you've accepted the word of God, the way the word of God is acting in your hearts and he's changing you and conforming you to the image of Christ. You know what I want? As we go on the missions outreach, as we reach out to other people, I want the same for other people. I want the word of God to be unleashed and for God to do a work in their hearts. And that should be your prayer tonight. Free course. Known people come to our church in Romania, Moldova, Noah. That's what we do. We open the book. We preach to them the word of God. The young man that was on our presentation tonight, he was the first one in the green shirt. He had a monkey around his neck. It was not a real monkey, okay? Don't ring the RSPCA, please. It was only a toy one, okay? We had it for Kids Club, for the Scuola di Vacanza, what do you call it? VBS. Okay. He had that round his neck anyway. Danny got saved at our camp in 2011. He started coming to our church after a couple of weeks. When he got saved, he returned to the Baptist Union Church that his parents had had an association with for over 40 years. He returned there and nobody wanted to know anything about him. He told them that he was saved and they weren't interested. He asked about baptism, and the pastor said, "Ah," a reaction like that. So anyway, he was along the road one day, and Nico, my son-in-law, saw him at the side of the road and pulled over and said, "Hi, Danny, jump in the car. We're going into town," or whatever. And he gave him a lift, and while they're talking, Nico said, "What happened?" He said, "I went back to this church, and nobody's interested." So Nico said, "Why don't you come to our church?" And he started coming to our church. And after about 3 weeks, his mom and dad came along to the church. Vorica and Gita. Gita is George in Romanian. So they started coming to our church. And one day I was there. And in Romania, they addressed the pastor as brother pastor. Okay, that's what they say. I don't know why. That's the address. They say, fratele pastor, okay? So they came to me and they said, I want to talk to you. And I said, what is it? And she said, I have learned more here in the last 3 months than I've learned in 40 years at the Baptist Union Church. And you know my heart? It jumped. Know why? We just let God's Word do the work in their hearts. And we're seeing people changed. Some of the young people have been changed at the youth camp. We've seen them changed and coming. I'm going to put in can I brag on God tonight? Okay? I'm just doing what I'm told to do, okay? What I believe we're called to do. We have a young man started to come to our camp. He came to camp. He was on the screen, Kathleen, okay? He started coming to church a couple of months before camp. And his reason for coming to church is he had his eye on a young girl called Christina in our church. Christina was saved at our church at 12 years of age. My daughter Caitlin led her to the Lord. And she's just turned 18 now, okay? And when she started coming along to the church, and Kathleen came, and he thought she was a good sort, okay? Do I need to translate that, or you understand? Okay. Anyway, he thought she was pretty pleasing on the eye, okay? So he came along, and while he was there at the church, he wasn't interested in church. Came from an Orthodox family. His brother was in training to be an Orthodox priest, okay? Going off to high school to train to be an Orthodox priest. Okay, and every time Kathleen came, he always found when it was preaching time or singing hymns, he always found something fascinating on the ground. I don't know what it was, but he could not look up. And anyway, he decided he'd take a week off work when camp time was coming up, and he'd come to camp. And we noticed him all during the week. He played soccer. That's the real football, by the way, okay? Okay, the round ball. You kick with your foot. Okay. Anyway, he went out there and he played that. He enjoyed that. And he was involved in the other sports. And we challenged him during the week that he had come to camp with wrong motives, that he needed to get saved. So he went along for the end of, towards the end of the week. And we told him if he wanted to get serious with God, he'd have to come and check us out. He'd have to see us. So on Thursday night, while all the young people were down the paddock, around the bonfire, Cartelin came and he said he wanted to talk about salvation. Okay, that's good. So he came along and I spent about an hour and a half. Brother Gil Anger was there with me. And we explained to him the gospel and how he needed to be saved. Before someone can be found, you need to show them they're lost, okay? So he was saved and he called on Christ to be his Savior. At the Friday morning camp meeting that we had, I said, we have a young man here who's going to give his testimony of his salvation. And Cartelin came forward and gave his testimony at the camp. And it was very moving. He gave a good testimony. On Monday, he returned to work where he works at the company. He makes wiring looms for a company. And returned to work on the following Thursday. He came home from work and he found his, when he opened the doors off the main street, he found his dad had committed suicide. And Cartelin found him. And I was concerned about Cartelin, how he'd react. He found him hanging by a rope. And so I found out about this and I contacted him and I went and saw him and I said, how are you going, Cartelin? How are you okay? Do you need to talk? And he said, Fratelli Pastor, I'm okay. So what would my life have been this week if I had not have met Jesus last week? From Thursday to Thursday. Salvation to the committing suicide of his father in 1 week. And you know he's been persecuted by his family? When you become a Christian in Romania, they refer to us as pocaiți. A pocaiți is a repenter. Not a bad word. It's a good word, actually, isn't it? Unless you likewise repent, you'll not see the kingdom of God. Is that correct? Okay. But that's what they refer to us as. And when they see us walking along, the Orthodox people sit on the little benches around town. They make these snide comments and they said, oh, here come the pocaiți. Look at them. Look at them. And he's undergone persecution in his family. But you know what? When he started, when he came to the church after his salvation, he started doing a discipleship course straight away. Then he wanted to do a Fishers of Men course, so we did that. And now he's doing a doctrine course with me, okay? We have another young man in our church, Marius. Marius started coming along to church in 2014. And when we saw Marius the first time, he was very nice. He came to church and said he wanted to collect secondhand clothes for the poor people. Not a bad thing to do, but... And I said, Marius, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm Orthodox Christian, but Orthodox, Baptist, Pentecostal really doesn't matter. It's just different flavors of Christianity. So I said, when were you saved, Marius? He said, what's that? He said, I believe in God. And I said, that's good, but have you repented of your sin? Have you asked Christ to be your Savior? And he was very offended at that. I told him he wasn't a good person. He was really offended. Anyway, he came along to church off and on. Every time we saw Marius coming, because sometimes he'd stand up in the middle of a sermon and want to interject. Okay? Anyway, we got through that. And we said, if there were any problems, we'll talk in the back room about these things. But Marius started coming along to the church. For a couple of weeks, he used to be a Nazist before that, swastikas, and hated the Jews and everything like that. And one night, I preached on a Sunday night, and the Lord had laid it on my heart to give an appeal. And I said, is there someone here that needs to receive Christ as Savior? And Marius' hand went up. And I went out the back in the other room after the service, and I led Marius to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know his life changed. Okay? He wanted to. He said to me, he said, Fratelli Pastor, no way you showed me the Bible and how to show people how to get saved and everything. Can you teach me how to do that? And I said, yes, with pleasure I'll teach you how to do that. So he did his discipleship course that we had in all the various subjects. Then he did the Fishers of Men course, we call Pescar de Oameni. We did that course afterwards. And then now he's doing doctrine classes. And we got him to give a message. When young people get saved or anyone gets saved, we put them to work. Okay? We don't have substitutes on our benches. Okay? When someone gets saved, we try to put them to work. Okay? Stretch them a bit. Okay? So when Marius came along, we thought, Marius, we have a preaching roster for Kids Club every Friday. Could you do a message for the kids? But what do I do? I said, we'll give you the passages of Scripture, and you teach it to the young people. Just a short message, 15, 20 minutes, nothing too long. Keep their attention, nothing too long, okay? So anyway, Mario Seeger, he came and he gave a message, and it was very, very good. And we were very impressed. And when we left in November to come over to Australia, Caitlin rang us up. It was the last Friday before Christmas. The kids had we had a Christmas party for all the kids that came to our to Kids Club. And Caitlin said Marius was going to be the preacher. He was rostered on. It was the last one for the year. And Caitlin contacted us from Romania and she said, Marius gave a fantastic message. Actually, it's the best message that she's ever heard for teaching young people. You see what God does, how He changes people? God's in the work of changing people. Marius came all dressed up in a suit and everything for Kids Club. We usually come quite relaxed, you know. But God used this young man, and he's got a heart for people, for kids especially. And on January, February there, him and young Danny, we sent them off to do a training course for how to teach young children, young people. And God is working in their hearts. I want us to look at 1 Timothy 2:4 again, or I'll just refer to it. It says, what's God's plan for all men? To come to a knowledge of the truth. To come to a knowledge of the truth. You know what the biggest problem in Romania is? Religion. All them shots that you saw tonight on our presentation, you saw the Orthodox churches, you saw the parade, that was a funeral service for the Orthodox people. They were all shot dead in our neighborhood. Actually, it's outside our front door, a lot of these shots. Religion is a big problem. People can't see the truth. They don't understand the truth. And you know what God wants? For all men to come to a knowledge of the truth, and that's where we come in. We're to clear the way. We're to bring it down. We're to show them. In Nehemiah chapter 8, if you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Actually, all the Bible is beautiful, isn't it? And we see here, I'll just read a few verses. Verses 1 and 2. They're just verses 1 and 2. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both to men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. So we see here, we have a picture of Ezra reading the Scriptures. And the men and the women were gathered there, those that could understand the message. Let's jump on to verse 7. And we see here that Ezra wasn't alone. He had a group of men with him. Assistants, if you like. Let's see what their job was. I won't read out all their names. Okay, they're quite a mouthful, some of them names, okay? But let's jump down to the last bit. And the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Caused people to understand. That's where we come in. We're to cause people to understand. You know what to cause people to understand? No, that is. In the New Testament, we have the Greek word didakta. I don't know if there's any Greek scholars out there. Do you know what it means? to teach. But not just to, many times we go to school today or people go to university and you know what they do? They write a whole lot of information or they put it on your tablet or whatever electronic form today and they throw information at you. Okay? They just get it. Woof. You know what the Bible, you know what God wants us to do? He doesn't want that. You know what the adjective that I like about this word? It means cause to learn. And you know when you talk to people, you need to break it down like the Levites did. They cause the people to learn. They come and they met them at their point, what level they were on. If you speak to a child, you bring it down. You cause them to learn. You are teaching them. You're reaching them. And you know what the people of Moldova know, and you know what the people of the world need today? A clear gospel presentation of what the responsibility is before God, that they can come to a saving knowledge of the truth, that they may come to salvation. In Moldova Nova, Romania, this is our aim, or our scope, to cause people to learn and come to a knowledge of the truth. As believers, we are to be involved in God's program to reach all men. God's house is a house of prayer. God's house is for us to glorify Him. It is a training center for the saints to grow in their faith and to put into action, that means reaching others, for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13, what's it say? And He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know what that means, perfecting? Many people get frightened of the word perfecting. Perfect. Okay? Don't be frightened. We will never be perfect. That's what we think the word perfect means. But you know what that means here? Maturing or bringing to completeness the saints. Why? For them to do the work of the ministry. That's what it says. For the saints to come to the training center, which is the church. The church is not an entertainment center. It is a training center. If you come here to be entertained, I hope you're disappointed. If you come here to learn more about God and your responsibility before God and what's happening on the other side of the world, some 20,000 kilometers away, and how God's working in the hearts of people, praise the Lord. We're to be involved in that. Remember both? We're to be reaching people and be involved in God's program all places at the same time. It is the place, the church, where God's word is to be clearly preached and sinners are to be convicted by God's word. I want to thank you for your support and prayers for us. And I want you to continue to pray for us in Romania. When we go back to Romania, it's going to be hard to get back, isn't it? It's going to be hard to leave family here. But God wants us there. I believe that with all my heart. And God wants us to reach people, but we need your prayer. We need you to hold us up before the throne of grace because many times we get disappointed like other people. We get discouraged like other people do. But we need you to pray for us. We have people that are not happy that we're there. When I first went to Romania, I arrived there, I got a 2-year visa. Okay? That was before Romania entered the EU. Now, to get that 2-year visa was very, very hard. We got it in 2005. And that was going to last to 2007. When the pastors found out I was not like them, that I didn't preach the same message as them, that when we saw some of the things that they're doing as corrupt, we put our fingers on it, okay? One of the pastors came to me and he said, in public they were always very nice to us. When they saw people in public and they come up and they'd hug you and they'd kiss you on both cheeks, and they said, oh, brother, it's good to see you. He said, one day this pastor came to me and he said, Brother Billy, you have a visa for 2 years. And I said, yes. And he said, but has not your visa expired already? And I said, oh, yes, it's expired. And he said, well, how can you stay in my country? Unbeknown to me, as they contacted the Baptist Union big chief, okay, president. He came down and had secret meetings with the Baptist Union pastors in our area. And the number one agenda was to throw that guy out from Australia. Get rid of him. Okay? When he makes an application to get another visa, to block it. Okay? We didn't get any Christmas cards or nothing from them. They weren't very friendly. Okay? And that was the agenda, to block and destroy Veste Bona, which is Good News Independent Baptist Church. And to get rid of that guy, okay? So what happened is this pastor met me and I said, yes, but these is expired. He said, how come you stay in my country? And I said, you know, I was born in Northern Ireland, part of Britain. And in 2007, the law changed. And anybody that was born in a European country has a right to get a visa. He says, you have one of these visas? And I said, yeah, for 5 years. He was very annoyed. He was really upset. And when I went the last time to get my visa renewed, we just have to pay medical insurance in Romania. And when I went there to get the visa renewed, and I said to the guy behind the desk, after a while you get a little bit pushy with the bureaucracy. You have to. Okay? And I went there and I said, what have I got to do? I need to renew my visa. And he said, you have to pay medical insurance. Here, paid. He says, you have to pay tax across the road, about equivalent to 30 cents Australian. So I ran across the road, I paid the tax, I came back and I gave him a slip of paper, and I said, what else have I have to do? And he said, oh, we need all your papers, your marriage license, or your marriage certificate, everything all over again. I said, but I gave them to you before. I didn't get married to someone else, I'm still married to the same woman. I'm not giving you the papers. And he said, oh, okay, sit down and we take a picture. So I sat down and took a picture, and I had to pay 30 cents for my 5-year visa. That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. Pray for us. Because there's people who don't want us there. You know why? Because we've upset the apple cart. Because we preach, once saved, always saved. We preach that God works in the hearts of men. We preach that people have to call out for Christ to be their Savior after they've been convicted of sin and accept Him as their Savior. Can you pray for us and hold us up in prayer before the throne of God for the work in Moldova, Noua, Romania? Up the back there is a little display table. I'd like you to have a look at that, okay? There's a few pictures up there. There's prayer cards up there if you grab one of them. Put them on your fridge or wherever you meditate. On the back, or on the front rather, is a picture of my wife and I. Okay, where we're standing is in Romania. You'll see the Danube down the bottom there. And you'll see all these little houses. That's on, in Serbia on the other side of the pond. What do you call it? The river there. The Danube, okay? On the back you'll notice there's a picture of Caitlin, one of our twins, one of our daughters. And she's married to Nico Dimitrovic. He's my assistant pastor. Didn't always start out that way. But he came to me one day and he said, I said to him, what do you want to do for the future? And he said, I have two questions to ask. Can you help me? And I said, fine, should, go ahead. And he said, I want to be a pastor. I want to train. I believe God's called me to be a pastor. And I said, praise the Lord, I'm here to help you. And I said, what's the other question? He said, I want to marry your daughter. And I said, well, for the pastor thing, we can help you straight away. For the daughter thing, you'll have to wait a few years. Okay? And in 2012, Nico and Caitlin were married. And he's such a blessing to us. He's learned English as his third language, fluent in Serbian, reading and writing the whole lot, and Romanian, of course. My wife taught him English. I think he learned English in about 6 or 7 months. Really annoying. Okay? Annette started teaching him, I think it was in November 1 year, and I challenged him right at the beginning. You're going to learn English, it's going to be very good, because next year at youth camp, when Brother Gil Anger comes, you're going to be his interpreter. And he was. See how God works? Could you pray for us? I've mentioned about the prayer cards. Take one, please. Okay. And also on the back there is a little teddy bear. See that little guy up there? We're going to leave one of them with you. Okay. It's up to you what you want to do with it. Okay, we call him our air prayer bear, okay? So if you can remember to jog your memory, that's the air prayer bear up there. He's got a little tag on his ear, okay? Could you pray for us, please? And we thank you for your support, both financially and in prayer. Please continue to do so. Thank you.